God's grace to you and peace in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. We just sang in that last verse, the last line, just to say it again to us, protect us by thy might, O great God, our King. We're going to talk a little bit about kings today because that's really part of at the heart of Independence Day, why it started in the first place. And it's certainly a very big part of today's chapter in the story. We're glad that you've been working through the Bible with us. We have now made it a third of the way as we make it to chapter 10. And here we are also celebrating Independence Day, which will happen this week. Independence Day, America, the greatest country on earth. We are free to choose any path we want, right? Independence, Independence Day. But has there ever been a time, in recent memory when we've realized the danger and the damage that's caused when everybody wants to act independently? I don't have to wear masks, one says. Perhaps the other one says, I don't have to stop at stoplights. And you can see where the chaos begins to start. What we're seeing during this pandemic, and really is kind of this sort of this norm for our country, is that we have this tug of war with the values of our nation and wanting to live in freedom and do what we want and be independent and also be popular and not have anybody tell us what to do and all those other things, have people like us, all of that going on. And we're like that 6 days of the week. And then suddenly we come into God's house on Sunday and we say we're going to live by God's values. You know, it didn't work so well back in Samuel's day. And it struggles to work in the same way in our day. America's values, pride in America, mom, apple pie, Chevrolet, all those great things. But what about the value of humility? What about the value of obedience? What about this thing we have where we call it the United States of America, where there's this independence, but there's also a unity, a working together, a interdependence? Why is this such a struggle? Humility, obedience, dependence. I don't want that. I want to be free. I want to stand out. I want to buy in. I want to be popular. I want people to like me. I don't want to, you know, be the one out in front. I want my rights. I want my freedoms. But you know what we find out when we head down that path? Life's not as safe as we thought it was. It's not as fulfilling as we thought it was. It's not quite as independent as we thought it was. And it reminds me a bit of something Jesus once said, that with our lips, we say we love you. But our hearts can often be forgetful of God. And even as Jesus once said, on a totally different path. Friends, I'm suggesting today that this is a tug of war that's a part of the American DNA, right? And the same thing was happening back in the day of Samuel. This guy, let's talk about Samuel here for a little bit. He was the last of the judges, right? We looked at the book of Judges 2 weeks ago, and even to a degree last week when we talked about Ruth and living at the time of the judges. Samuel was a bridge, if you will, the last of the judges and very much so the first of the prophets. And part of his job as judge, as leader, as prophet, was to speak for God to the people words that at times they may not want to hear, but they needed to hear. God still calls us as his people to do that today. Here's how the book of Judges, by the way, ends. These words have a really chilling effect to me. The book of Judges in chapter 21, verse 25 says this, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Everyone did as he saw fit. What's being described there is the danger, the vulnerability of living independent from God. Well, when you look at this and when we hear and dig into this chapter, and I hope you've read it. If not, you know, go on our website. You can find all the verses to read this from your own Bible or use, of course, your story Bible. But the first character we meet in the 1 Samuel is Samuel's mother, before Samuel is even born. This woman, Hannah, who is living in dependence on God, prays with passion, prays for a child, promises that any child, any son she would receive from God, she will give back to God. And God grants that prayer. I want to ask you, do you remember the great prayers that have been prayed over you? Is it possible that we at times forget that our parents in love brought us forward for baptism or whenever that took place in our lives, the prayers of family members and friends over us, longing that we would be dedicated to God? Do you remember that as that time of baptism came, whether it was we as adults saying it or our parents and godparents saying it on our behalf, that we renounce the devil and all of his works and all of his ways, his independent from God ways, his rebellion from God ways? I wonder if we, as his followers, we realize that that means we don't live any longer as we see fit, but as God would guide us. We are united to and followers of Jesus Christ, and baptism connects us to him, and by his death on the cross, Jesus canceled our debt of sin, and he broke the power of self-centeredness and sin in our lives. I wonder if we remember all that. So we're free, yes. But it's not freedom just to indulge our sinful nature and to do whatever we want. It is freedom as a gift from God to now live free from sin's pull and to live free in a loving, living relationship with God. This freedom, freedom from guilt, freedom from the crowd's pull, freedom that we can bind ourselves to the agenda, to the path, to the values of Jesus. That's what we have. It's our God-given freedom to serve one another in love. And by the way, that should put an end to this whole mask thing. Instead of us saying, you know, oh, I don't want to wear a mask, I'm free. You know what? You're free by Jesus so that you don't have to live self-centeredly, but instead say, I can wear this mask out of love for everyone else around me. But now someone will say, I'm meddling, right? I have rights, you might say. But here's what we as Christians say. I have rights, but I have been made righteous through Jesus Christ, and I can set aside my rights to do the right thing. See how different the orientation is? Obviously, this approach goes to a whole lot more than just even masks. This approach, Jesus's approach to new life in his kingdom, is to help, to protect, to love, and even to sacrifice. A generation right now is passing away who understood that. Our country worked together and fought together and sacrificed together to defeat Nazism, to defeat this horrible evil that was going on during World War II. And why are so many today talking about rights instead of the responsibility to again sacrifice and come together against a common enemy? In God's name, I tell you, we are living out the same kind of generational change that was going on in God's story over 4,000 years ago. After that generation had been gathered to their ancestors, then came another generation who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he or she saw fit. You know, whatever your vocation is, whatever job you have, whatever your role is in your family or your community, live it out 7 days a week. But live it in the freedom that Jesus has won for you. Live it in that freedom that God has given, that we who have a son, a savior who died for us, we now live for him who lived for himself. But back to 1 Samuel. To get there, though, I want to ask you this question. I want you to reflect for a minute. Have you ever been rejected? Maybe it was the sports team you didn't get on, the job you didn't get, resume was rejected. Maybe it was a special date you were looking at going to. Whatever the case is, do you remember that sting, that pain of rejection, and how deeply it hurts? Now imagine how God felt when he was rejected by Israel as king. What does rejecting God as king look like in our day? I think it's when we get all kinds of things upside down and values turned around. I saw a news story about some pastors who were suggesting we need armed guards to watch over our churches 24/7. It seems that a few protesters in one city have been talking about not just tearing down Confederate statues, but tearing down a statue of Jesus. And these pastors then expressed, as they did this, a news channel kind of fanning the flames of fear, gave these pastors a platform. And here's what they declared. They'll come after our statues of Jesus today, and next it'll be the cross. We've got to defend our heritage and our faith. If the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, teaches us anything, like the book of Joshua did and like other books in the Bible teach us, if the word of God teaches us anything, when the people of God go out to fight battles that God has not sent them out to fight, things don't go well. Instead, when we depend on God, what am I talking about? The Israelites, they go into a battle that God did not send them into. They go out there and they try to use the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. They use the Ark of God instead of depending on God. And in that battle, they lose 30,000 soldiers and they lose the Ark and they lose, and even more so, the connection with God. Bad things happen when God's people go to fight battles that God did not send them to. It was true in the time of Joshua. It was true in the time of Judges and of 1 Samuel. And it is still true in our time. As we get ready to celebrate a different kind of Independence Day, sheltering at home due to a pandemic that has taken more lives than our war dead in Korea and Vietnam, I urge us to celebrate not just Independence Day, independence from the tyranny of a king on the other side of an ocean, but instead that we Christians would remember we are in dependence on a king who 2,000 years ago gave his life for us on the cross. And he rose again and he promises us eternal life. Independence Day is, of course, the holiday when we celebrate freedom from King George. The colonists rejected King George and his unrealistic demands, and they declared their independence from him and their unity with each other, the United States. Today, we see that independence part alive and well, but the united part? I'm making a big deal about this, about our country, because from 1776 until today, it seems we have had a challenge balancing the independence part and the united part. It's not unlike the odd relationship that a nation almost 3,000 years ago experienced, balancing being united with God as their king and the pull towards freedom. Of course, I'm talking about Israel at the time when Samuel was born. He's one of our main characters in today's story, as I said, the last of the judges, the one who is offering them this and pointing them towards what true freedom is. Hannah crying out and God granting her a son, and then showing her united relationship with God as she dedicates Samuel back to God to serve at his temple. Samuel learning how to depend on God. And today's chapter tells us that Samuel clung to God and to his word, and that God clung to and worked through Samuel. That is how it's supposed to go with us too. Samuel clung to God, but his sons, most of the Israelites, did not. Some elders came to Samuel and they had a plan. It would have been nice if their plan had involved the whole nation humbling themselves and seeking God in a renewed freedom through dependence on God relationship. Nope. These elders basically said, we're done with trying this depend on God thing. We will settle for how every other nation makes it us work. Give us an earthly king. Appoint a king to lead us, 1 Samuel 8, verse 5 says, just as all the other nations have. It's crazy, really. It'd be like Cinderella giving up her glass slipper. It would be like the Astros giving up their World Series trophy. God had chosen them as his special people. He had made covenants with them, provided for them, protected them, guided them, led them. Give us a king, an earthly king, to lead us. Rejecting the heavenly king. This verse in 1 Samuel 8, verse 7 captures the conversation. The Lord said, listen to all the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have been doing from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. 1,000 years later, not much had changed. Jesus said to the Israelites in our gospel reading that we heard a little while ago, you are seeking a way to kill me because there is no room for you, no room for my word in your heart. Rejection of God. No room or no consistency in people when it comes to God and his word in our words and our actions. It seems like not that much has changed in 2,000 years. It's funny. Sad funny, not funny funny. It's sad, ironic, and not really funny at all that Jesus spoke these words. The Jewish people were arguing with him, claiming to be free. People in our day are claiming to be free. But Jesus' response to them was very simple and very true, and it is still true for us. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. It is without irony at all, but lots of sadness that the old prophet judge tells people what it will be like to have a king, what it will be like to give up your special, close, dependent, living relationship with God and exchange having the loving God of the universe as your king and instead having just an ordinary, self-centered person as your king. The rest of the chapter goes on. We see in Saul, kind of like reduced down to one, the repeat of the whole Israel story. He starts out strong with God. He starts out depending on God. He starts out doing great things together with God. But then he starts getting independent and acting without God. And Saul runs into one problem after another. And rather than depend on God or turn back to God for restoration, rather than wait on him, Saul keeps taking matters into his own hands. Our chapter ends with God rejecting Saul as king, because in truth, Saul had rejected God. Over and over again, we hear it. God says he'll try again with a new king, with a man after God's own heart. Friends, do you know that God is still looking for men and for women after his own heart? He is still looking for people who are not grabbed by the cheap substitute of worldly freedom and independence, and instead are willing to live in dependence on God and his grace and the love he pours out through us through his son, Jesus Christ. American Christians should be very wary of what happens when we settle for yelling about or defending our rights. We will never be safe and secure demanding our rights, no matter who our president is. We will never have do that, but instead our only true safe place is to be in the sheltering arms of the God who gives grace and forgiveness and eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. The people rejected God in those times of old. Today, we can wonder if people are rejecting him again. And yet, amazing, the good news of God is that while this rejecting of him is going on, he is still loving. For as we hear in 1 Samuel, where it says, it's not you, but they have rejected me as king, that word rejected has an echo to another place in Scripture, a place about 400 years forward from where Samuel is speaking, to a time when the prophet Isaiah got to peer over the horizon of time and see what it was going to be like when Jesus came into the world. Here's what it said in Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. But surely he took up our pain. He bore our sufferings. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquity. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But God laid the punishment that brought us peace upon him. We reject God. God, in love, still seeks us and offers his very best to us, his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the depth of God's heart for you, to let his Son's heart be pierced, that your heart might be, if you're humble, full of his grace and new life. Seek his heart, friends. This Independence Week and always, seek the heart of God and humble ourselves again to receive that love and that grace of Jesus. Grab hold of Jesus and his word, his words of grace. Your life and the life of our nation may very well depend on it. Hold to my teaching, Jesus said. That's how you'll know what's true about masks and rights and loving and serving others. Hold to my teachings, not your rights or freedoms, or what you deserve. Hold on to me, Jesus says, and you will know the truth about how much I love you. You will know how much I suffered to forgive you. And you will know that holding on to me, living in dependent faith on me, you will know true freedom. That freedom comes from being dependent on God. And what a difference it makes when we use that freedom to follow God and to serve others. May this Independence Day be when you renew your dependence on God, on the true King Jesus. May this renewed dependence free you from the slavery of sin and the lie of settling for fake independence that the world offers. Happy Independence on Jesus Day. Amen.